Torah tells us, Shoftim Shotrim Titen Lecha B'chol Sha'arecha. You shall appoint magistrates and officials in all of your tribes. Sha'ar Hashem Elokecha Anotein Lecha. That your God, Hashem, is giving you for your tribes. V'shaftu Ta'am Mishpat Tzadeka. They shall govern the people with due justice. So for, you know, for people who have an appreciation for political science and especially and even U.S. history, constitutional kind of thing. So there's a lot of inspiration to be found in these psukim that talk about shoftim v'shotrim. But the first midrash we're going to talk about is actually going to focus a little bit more on the shotrim part and the importance of the shotrim, and then we'll talk a little bit about the shoftim, and at the very end, maybe we'll talk a little bit about we'll talk about war and peace and the like, but we'll see if we get there. So shoftim v'shotrim. Shoftim elu hadayanim. Shoftim refers to judges. Shotrim elu haparnasim shemanhigim es ha'eda. But the shotrim, so in modern Hebrew, shoter is a policeman. But a shoter here is they translate it as an administrator. But that the concept of shoter, somebody who's enforcing the law enforcement, is definitely present here. And Midrash goes on to say, Rabbi Elazar Omer, im ein shoter ein shofet. If there's no police, then there's no judge. If there's nobody to enforce a law, then there's no judge. So the Midrash says, Ketzad, Kevashinishchayev Adam v'esdin din l'chaveru. If a person is found to be obligated, liable in a court, so I owe you $100. So it's very nice for a judge to say that, but how is that being enforced? How do we, you know, what's compelling me to pay the $100? If you don't have somebody in the enforcement position actually making sure that that's happening, once, you know, once the case is over, the judge can't do anything. Judge can't say what the law is and what the person's obligated to do. They can't do much more than that. Unless the so nothing can happen unless the judge tells the shoter to do something, shoter actually does. So Midrash gives an example. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, if not for the law enforcing job of Yoav, Yoav was the general of David HaMelech, and was also a nephew of David HaMelech, a little bit of a tragic figure, goes on the wrong side in the beginning of Malachim Aleph. He instead of siding with Shlomo, he sides with Adonijah, and so that's a whole episode in the beginning of Malachim. But he was a loyal general to David up until that point. So if not for the law enforcement skills of Yoav, lo hayah David yachol lasos ha'din. So it's an interesting discussion to what extent kings are judges and what their role is. It's something that comes up, but assuming that David, you know, had a position, not just king, not just being somebody who makes laws, but somebody who's judging. So Yoav was the one who was enforcing it. David judged; he was king over the entire people, but he would also do mishpat and tzedakah. He would make sure that justice was carried out for the entire nation. So Yoav ben Tseruiah was in charge of the tzava, in charge of the army. So David Yoav shoftim ke'echad. So were David and Yoav equal in power? Obviously not. Call Misha Eno Shomer Ladin. Anybody who wasn't going to listen to the judgment, most no tell Yad Yoav, so they'd be given to Yoav to deal with. Yoav would force them to get the descriptions of Yoav in Shmuel Bet. I wouldn't want to mess with that. He's a very skilled warrior. Very cunning, also. You wouldn't want to mess with him. But I guess if one were in that situation, he'd be in charge. Eov also said, I was a father to the poor. I broke the jaws of evildoers. So Eov also did this enforcement. But the main thrust of this midrash is that in order for, we often talk about, when it comes to shoftim, we do often talk about the judges and what the proper administration of justice looks like. But in reality, none of that can happen if you just have somebody sitting on a bench, but you need somebody to carry it out. In this respect, I think there's a obvious point to be made here in contemporary discourse. And it goes back to something I said in the drasha I gave on Bet Chanan. Bet Chanan, I talked about, that was the drasha where I talked about whether it's proper to say that you love something, right? Can I say that I love pizza and I love the Atlanta Braves? Like, so, you know, does that, if I'm supposed to love Hashem, so does my, if I say that I love other things, does that interfere? So talked about, I used that to talk a little bit about precision. And one thing I mentioned in passing was that, is that there are sometimes slogans, you know, sometimes when we use slogans for things, so slogans are not always so precise, and they can convey ideas that can even be problematic. So one such example that I didn't say then, but I think relates well here, is the concept of defunding the police. So what does defunding the police actually mean? Well, it's a machlokes. According to some people, that means literally getting rid of the police, and it's an evil system and should be done away with. According to other people, it means, well, no, we don't really mean defund the police, but we mean just shifting some of the funds to health services and social work services and the like. If you have people in some cases who are either mentally unstable or going through a situation, so maybe they could be helped by a mental health professional instead of being chased down the police. That's that machlokes, but I think there's an element on both sides that want to see a little bit less police power. And on the one hand, I'm all in favor of if another agency could truly do a better job helping people. You know, if somebody who's perhaps posing a danger could be helped by social worker more effectively than police, and then by all means. But this Midrash is making an important point. You can't have a society where there's no law enforcement, right? You can't make law. Rule number one in schools, teachers cannot make rules that they're not going to enforce. If you're not going to enforce it, it's not a rule. That is just reality. And if anything, it creates confusion because, like, if somebody is following a rule, but other people aren't, so, like, what is it? Is it a rule? Is it not a rule? Society where the stakes are obviously much higher, you can't have laws. You can have laws that aren't enforced. I think that, you know, there is some truth to that, that, you know, sometimes laws are made, but they aren't enforced for X, Y, or Z reasons. Fine. But when we talk about, like, you know, when we talk about, like, real things related to justice and crime and the like, so if you don't have any enforcement out there, then people are going to notice that and they're going to take advantage of that. And in fact, it's a big mitzvah in halacha. Pirkei talks about this, that you need to have government, because otherwise people will swallow each other alive. But again, it's not enough to have a king and to have judges, but you need to have people who are actually going to carry out the mishpat. Because if you don't have that, then people will do whatever they want, and a lot of chaos comes from that. So in order to create a just society, it's important not just to have the judges who are able to elucidate the law and mediate disputes, but there needs to be, like, a real tangible way of enforcing it. All right, that's midrash number one. That's really the second one, but that's number one for me. So the next midrash, shoftim and shotrim. Now we're talking about the shoftim a little bit. So here the midrash says, tzarich sheyu hashoftim ba'alei zrua b'masim tovim. Zrua is an arm, you know, do like a little bit of an arm flex. Shoftim have to be, judges have to be strong through their good deeds. I mean, they have to, you know, there's really two ideas that could be said here. Number one, there is Ba'alei Zrua in terms of strength, maybe not just related to good deeds, but in Parshat Devarim, it says related to when Moshe talks about how he originally appointed judges in the time of before Matan Torah at the in the period of Yitro. So in that in Parshat Devarim there it says Lo Tagur Mipnei Ish. You're not supposed to be afraid of anybody. Judge is not allowed to be afraid of anybody. If your job is to say what the law is, so you can't say, well, if I find this guy guilty and I give him a sentence a little bit too harsh, so then his family members are going to come after me. So, as extreme that example might be, and you know, obviously creates a vulnerability, so maybe we could make it a little bit less extreme. But the point is, you can't You're not supposed to. Well, you're not supposed to distinguish between rich and poor. You can't be afraid of what other people are going to say or what other people are going to do when you make judgment. You have to have a strength of conviction that what you say is the law and what's right is right. Because again, otherwise you have a corrupt system where some people get preferential treatment based on their status and their, I don't know, their capabilities to wreak havoc. So you can't have that in society. You need judges to have strength of conviction. But at the same time, there's also, you need to be Ba'ezer Rabbah Masim Tovim, that you need to have strength of good deeds. You need to be somebody with unimpeachable integrity. So Shekach Asa Moshe, this is the way Moshe set up the judicial system. Moshe Anshei Chayil. Moshe chose men of valor. And what does it mean that he chose Anshei Chayil, men of valor? People with Torah and Masim Tovim will be Gvura. Again, so you have Torah, good deeds, and courage. Again, that your courage is coming through there. But you need to have faith in Ribbono Shel Olam, and you also need to be somebody who's known to be a good person. Which is interesting, because on some level, a judge can just be on the bench and say what's right and wrong. But, you know, who says that a judge can't make his own mistakes and appear before another judge? In theory, it's not mutually exclusive, but the Torah is if a judge is not just somebody is not just an administrator of the government, but is responsible for carrying out the Torah, which is a moral instruction, it's the person who's telling people how to act and what's right and what's wrong. So they themselves need to practice what they preach. So Midrash goes on to say, yeah.
In Judaism, is there such a thing as judicial review, where you can ask a higher court to review the decision of the lower court?
I don't remember exactly if litigants can do that, but there is you know, there is a concept. The way Moshe sets it up is that there are courts for smaller districts. Right? So if you have a small question, the idea was you go to your local districts, and then there's, you know, batadin on different levels. So there is that sort of system, that network of judicial courts until you get up to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, the job of Sanhedrin, besides dealing with perhaps weightier cases from Gecko, but if the judge isn't sure about something, so they're responsible for going back up to the Sanhedrin. Is there an appeal system? I don't remember off the top of my head. So Midrash goes into Tariq Shiyu Nikim Mikol Mishpat. They have to be cleaned of any infraction. So a person can't make any claims against them. Their character has to be unimpeachable. Okay, which is just a high standard. And this is like Moshe Shamar Yisrael Lo Chamor Kamehem Nasati. So when Moshe and Korach get involved in a dispute, so Moshe says to Hashem, like, what do you want from me? I didn't even take a donkey from them. And obviously, Moshe saying that he didn't steal donkeys, but even if he could make a claim, well, you know, I'm a higher authority, higher power, so I have the right to, which is what you have in the Mishpat HaMelech of Shmuel, that when the king has a right to take people's property. So Moshe didn't even do that, even if it was legal. So Shmuel Shamar Hinenu Anu Bi Neged Hashem Neged Mishicha Shor Mi Lakachti V'Chamor Mi Lakachti. Shmuel also says this when the people want a king. So Shmuel says to God, like, I didn't take anything from them. Like, what did I do wrong that they want to undermine the system of Nebuah and go to a monarchy? So Heve Omer Shoftim Shotrim Shelo Yehe Bahem Davar Shel Psus. So this is the big mantra here is, when it says, when Torah says judges and officials that we should appoint, that there should be no matter of disqualification in them. So not only should there not be any sort of sense of disqualification, that they shouldn't have done anything in their past, maybe, that would call their character into question, but even sort of in the lechatchila sense, even in the present, they always have to be holding themselves to a higher standard. This is illustrated in the following story. The Maisa by Rabbi Chanina ben Elazar, an incident with Rabbi Chanina, son of Elazar, Shehalo ilan natua betok sadehu, nufav notel sadeh. So he had a tree in his field, and the branches were, the branches were in another person's field. So ba'adam echad, so one person comes, so kaval lefanav, and he complains before Rabbi Chanan ben Elazar. There's somebody with trees, with the tree whose branches are overflowing into my field. Not talking about Rabbi Chanan ben Elazar, but it just happens to mention, by the way, this is bothering me. He should have to cut it. And luckily speaking, the person's allowed to demand it. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Chanan ben Elazar says, Lecha uvo lamachar, come back tomorrow. He says, Amar Lei, kol adinu nabayin lefanecha, miyad ata posev, vidinia ata me'achar. So the guy says to him, anytime somebody else comes to you for a psakin, for a judicial ruling, so you give the verdict right away. So why are you delaying my case? So now, so what does Rabbi Chanan do? He sent some workers to cut his tree that was in his field. The branches that were floating above somebody else's field, he had the workers go right away and cut them down. Then the person who was being accused of having the tree that with the branches in this guy's field, so he comes to Beit Din and Rabbi Elazar ben Chanan says you have to cut your branches. Amarlo, lama yilan shilcha anafav notin l'sadeacher, but you have a tree where the branches are inclined in somebody else's field. So Amarlo Terek kishem shata rochili kachas ajucha, go look at my tree again. Whatever you see with my tree, that's what you're allowed to do with your tree. Miyada halachas hakaf. So he goes and he sees obviously that Rabbi Chanan ben Elazar had his tree branches cut off. He realizes he has to do the same. Fichaktiv shoti v'shotrim shelo yehem ha'shofet davar shapso. Judges and officials, that there should not be a matter of disqualification in the judge. So again, what the story illustrates is that not only sort of looking at somebody's past, that a person shouldn't be able to come to say, well, 25 years ago they did X, Y, and Z. But even in the present, you're not allowed to be a hypocrite. You can't have double standards. And if somebody comes and says, you have tree with branches that are inclined over my field, and you have the same thing going on, so before he's willing to give the psak, he says, I have to fix what I'm doing before I can tell somebody else what to do. And this is, I guess, further illustrated in a story in the Gemara. It's a very, it's has a lot of similarities, but it's told a little bit differently. So here it's Rabbi Yana. So Rabbi Yana had a tree that was leaning into the Rishut HaRabim, not into somebody else's field, but Rishut HaRabim, the public domain. And somebody else also had a tree where the branches were, or the tree was leaning into the Rishut HaRabim. So general public was coming and saying, got to get rid of this. This is bothering us. So Atol Kamid Rabbi Yanai, he came before Rabbi Yanai and said, So leave for now, but come back tomorrow. That's what Rabbi Yanai says when the guy comes in. So Belayla Shadar Katsi Lahahu Dide. So that night, he sent somebody down to cut down the tree that belonged to him. So then the guy comes back and says, Amar Lei Zilkots, you have to go cut off your tree. Amar Lei Hamar Nami Play. You also have, or the master also, wouldn't talk in second person, but says the master also has a tree that's leaning into Rishus Rabin. So why do I have to deal with mine? Don't you have to deal with yours? So Amar Lei Zilkots. So Ikuts, Didi, Kotzidach, Ilakuts, Didi, Ilatakutsat. So go and see my tree. If it's cut down, then you have to cut yours down. If it's not cut down, then you also have to cut yours down. So very same concept here, where before Rabbi Yanai sort of told the guy what to do, he had to make sure that he was clean on his own accord and that he had already acted. Can't just be, and we both have the situation, so you go cut down your tree and I'll go to cut down my tree. But he has to lead by example and do this first. So Mar actually asked a question. So Mikara, Maisvar, Elisof Maisvar. So what was he thinking at the beginning? What was he thinking at the end? Meaning, if he knew what the psak was, then why did he allow his tree to be there up until that point anyway? So Mikaris Farnichalhudarabim to Yatve Bitula. So he just the guy assumed, Rabbi Yana, I should say, assumed originally that with his tree being there, nobody was complaining, so there's nothing to worry about. So once he saw that people were complaining about this other guy, and people are going to complain about the other guy, they're not going to complain about the rabbi. The rabbi will let him be, but somebody else will give him a hard time. So once he saw that people were complaining, he realized he had to cut down his tree also. Same before, right? Why did he tell him to come back the next day? He should have just said, "Go cut down your tree and I'll cut down my tree." Mishum derish lakish de amar hikoshu v'koshu. The pasuk in Tzfania, it says, "Gather yourselves together and gather," but a different way of reading it says the Gemara, "Chod asbukla v'karkach chod acherim." So literally, it means adoring yourself and afterward adoring others. But the word "chod" in Aramaic also means truth. And perhaps what this is saying here is when it comes to shotrim and shotrim, so you have to adorn yourself with truth as it was, meaning you have to be the paragon of integrity and on somebody else that they have a particular flaw when you have that same flaw yourself. So so same principle here, that judge is not allowed to tell somebody else to fix themselves when they themselves haven't done that work. So that's what we get from this midrash. Okay, we'll do one last one, just a few more minutes. So this is the last, or second to last midrash in Shoftim. It talks about when you're going to be fighting wars. So kitikav ir el ir lihilachim alef. You approach a town to attack it. So you're supposed to try to offer that you'll deal with it peacefully first before you go in and attack. So the midrash says, "Go and see how great Shalom is. Shapiru lasonim, even for people that we hate. Even for enemies, we're supposed to try to make peace." I mean, that itself speaks volumes of the state of affairs of today's world, that we need to do a much better job of realizing that we might have people that we disagree with, but that doesn't exempt us from trying to seek shalom, trying to make peace with them. And I say this, I think I've said this before, that even as far as like things go in Eretz Yisrael, and we've obviously had a very rocky history with our Arab and Palestinian neighbors. And at first, it was just the bordering countries, and now it's internally. Well, there's Iran, but I'm saying more internally in terms of Palestinians in the West Bank and the like. So, on the one hand, we should have the upper hand in the sense that that they try to terrorize us, and we have the upper hand, so we should do what we want. But at the same time, from what I understand from this midrash, so that we're not absolved from the moral high ground and just say, well, you know, we'll stoop to their level and do the same things also. We have an obligation to seek and pursue peace. If we have to fight, we have to fight. But at least we've talked about Mashallah. So trying to be the one to initiate peace is something that's worthwhile. It's a principle that we inquire the welfare about the welfare of Gentiles for the sake of ways of peace, meaning you don't just if you're going through the streets, practically speaking, New Yorkers don't really say hi to other people, but in other towns where people are friendlier, they don't just say good Shabbos to the Jews, but it's also nice to give greetings to the non-Jews as well. This is based on a principle in the Gemara in Gittin. It says, you're supposed to leave the gleanings and forgotten sheaves and produce in the corner, the bits of peah. All those things are technically for Jews, but if non-Jews come in and they want to collect, so you don't protest. Ask Dar Keshalom because we want to preserve peace. Tan Rabbanim Mfarnasin Aniyeh Goyim Maniyeh Yisrael. We give tzedakah to non-Jews along with Jews. doesn't necessarily mean that just because you give it to a Jewish organization, then you have to go and give it to a non-Jewish organization right away. But yeah, I got asked this question by students when it came to like Matanos Levionim. Let's say you find a poor Jewish person on the street, you get them a tzedakah. So should you do Matanos Levionim to a non-Jew also? So I don't know if you fulfill the mitzvah that way, but that doesn't absolve you of giving them something also, because that's Darkei Shalom. Levakrim Chole Goyim Chole Yisrael. We visit the non-Jewish, those who are ill, who are non-Jewish, as along with those who are ill and are Jewish. Like when you do Bikur Chom in a hospital, so often you have people in adjacent beds. Say hi to the other person also. It's a big Kiddush Hashem. Likewise, with burial, the same thing. So, but we also, we say how are you to non-Jews also that we pass in the street. It's not reserved for Jews. So Rabbi Elazar, Kapar Barabi, Gadol Koach HaShalom, so great a Shalom, Shash Yisrael, Os Chavur Achad, Yu Avod Azar B'neihem, Eim Yunas Adin No Gas Bahem, Shinemar Chavur Atzab B'Mephraim Hanachla. So great is peace that when the entire Jewish people is united, and there's peace among Jews, so even if they're doing Avod Azara, so the attribute of justice can't harm them. It's a very fascinating concept. It's only when, and this is, we say this even without the Avodah Zarah reference, but much easier for us to get attacked and to get hurt when there's internal division and when we divide ourselves. That's our worst end. Otherwise, it's much harder. That's what Midrash goes on to say. When we're divided, so Midas Hadin can reach us. Amar Yeshua Sachni B'Shim Rabbi Levi. Go see how great the power of peace is. Because of two or three words that were added because of peace. When Yaakov Avinu passed away, so the other brothers were afraid that Yosef would kill them out of retribution for selling him. Right, we see that her father has died, and maybe Yosef will take revenge. So then they come to Yosef, and they say that your father told us before he died. So said Yaakov, our father, this is what you should say to Yosef. I have, we forgive, you should forgive me. You should forgive us. So there's no evidence in the Torah that Yaakov actually told them to ask for forgiveness. Meaning, if Yaakov was the one who's telling them to do that, then Yosef is kind of obliged to say, you know what, if my father's telling me to forgive, then I should forgive. Yaakov didn't actually say that. They say it on their own. How much ink and how many quills have been used? How much ink has been spilled and how many quills have been used to write these words and demonstrate the importance? To demonstrate the importance of Shalom. Sarah Imam came to Sarah. There's something made up in the Torah for the sake of peace for Sarah. She was given the news that she was going to have a child, so she laughed in her heart. She said to herself, innards going to carry a fetus, Shadaim Halalu, Shitam Kamoshan Khalav, not going to be able to nurse. Is that even possible? So even if I were to do this, Avram is also old. Sarah had said to her sub over her by God, Avram's old. And that potentially is insulting to Avraham. When Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to rebuke Sarah, so Amar Lavram, Lama Tzachakat Sarah. Why is it that Sarah laughed? But he doesn't mention anything. God doesn't mention anything that Sarah said that Avram was old. He only says it about Sarah. Lama Kach Bishul Shelo Yisna Ena Bihesina Ben Avram LaSarah, in order to prevent enmity between Avram and Sarah. And we find this also in the Parsha of Sota, that when you write the Parsha of Sota, so God's name has to be written in it, has to be dissolved in the water. So why would God allow his own name to be dissolved in the water? We don't generally erase God's name. We do that in order to preserve the peace between a husband and wife. So all this teaches us Gadol HaShalom, peace is great. And I think that's, you know, such an important thing to be emphasized in our day and age, that we have people that are not like us, and even people that we strongly dislike. And yet you approach a city to attack it, first you have to offer peace. But there has to be some sort of sincere efforts to try to reconcile, to try to at least, you know, live with the differences peacefully before one attacks. And otherwise, it really, the attack should be avoided entirely. Okay. Have a great week, everyone.